Hello to everyone. Hello, and good morning. It's a beautiful morning where I am this morning. And today I'm going to have a special guest on today, and her name is Deidre Dennis. And she's going to share with us, ladies, today the spiritual trauma of entering a marriage with low self-esteem. I'm not going to hold time. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start my interview with her and give her enough time to share her testimony with you ladies. Some of you all that may hear this testimony at the end of the show, she will give her email address to anyone that may want to reach out for more questions or that may want to speak with her or that just may want her to pray for them or with them. So we're going to get started today. Good morning, Deidre. How are you? Good morning. I'm sorry about that. I guess we got disconnected. I'm going to have to wait for her to come back on. But while I'm waiting on her, I'll go ahead and talk a little bit about what I'm doing. I'm getting ready to do an upload of different women who have had traumatic experiences or trauma or hurt in a relationship. I am a relationship coach and also a family coach and mentor. So Deidre, are you on? Can you hear me?
I am on, and I guess somehow we got disconnected there. But,
yes, we did.
Lord,
okay, well, since she's back on, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started with our interview. Deidre, my first question that I have for you is, we're going to start with the root problem of what you think may cause your low self-esteem.
Can you hear me, LaShonda?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Great. Thank you for having me this morning. And I wanted to just say, first off, I just thank God for just getting me to this point to be able to even do this interview with you. It's been a long time coming, and I want to tell everyone that, to me, for a long time, and I'm in my mid-40s now, that self-esteem was an ugly word to me, and I used to not be able to hear that word without cringing or just crying. Where I believe that my low self-esteem, I want to say I could go back to when I was younger, some occurrences in my life, and just, you know, not only with people that sexual relations that had happened, just not, you know, with people that I was close to, but also to people, to young boys and girls in the neighborhood. So, and then the TV, I was a constant TV watcher. And so it was TV was, you know, the relationships and how women thought that it was, if you found a good man, that's all you needed. That's all you needed in life to make it, and you would have a happy home, and you would have a happy, you know, your whole life would just be sunshine and roses, and it's not. It is not that way at all. My mom was sick a lot when I was younger, and a lot of the time I was with her, and so I took care of her a lot, and when she died, I think that also messed with my self-esteem, because she always helped me to believe in me. She always helped me to believe that I was pretty, even though when I was younger, I was this thin, scraggly, I was dark-skinned, And then with my dark skin, when I didn't put enough of lotion, I was ashy. And the kids in the neighborhood would let that be known that I was ashy. And a lot of times my hair would be what I would think would be beautiful with the beads and things in my hair. They would, you know, they would pick and make fun of. So, but, you know, my mom would always tell me that, you know, baby, you're always beautiful in her eyes. And, but when I would, you know, and so what I guess what I would do is I would retreat into myself. I would read, I read a lot of comic books, Archie comic books growing up, and I would retreat into that. And so I would act out the comic book in real life. And so I, whatever in my mind, I would envision myself with this long flowing hair, and I would envision myself with these beautiful perky lips and what have you. And it was not that way, but it seemed like I gave myself more confidence. And the people, the kids in the neighborhood thought I was weird or whatever, but then I guess that would be to their advantage. To what they would
So
know
you would
when
say you kinda acted So you would say you
yeah.
kinda acted out you were like living in a fairy tale. A fairy
Basically.
Tale life. That's what a lot of people revert back to. You know, trying
yeah.
to pretend to be somebody else. Like you said, you wanted the long, flowing, pretty hair and the, you know, and the perky lips. And you would revert back to that to make yourself build up your confidence to make yourself feel pretty. When you were really
yeah.
pretty and beautiful anyway, you just did not, because you were made fun of, you just didn't like the skin that you were in, and you didn't
yeah.
like maybe the way your lips were shaped. So you just lived in a fantasy
exactly.
world.
It's exactly what it was. My whole life was
and so,
in my mind.
So you kind of turned, so we're going to move a little forward. So you kind of turned to you say, I heard you say you turned to boys, to sex. So is
yeah.
that kind of what drove you into, because you had low self-esteem about yourself, you just kind of settled and you just kind of hid in that fantasy behind maybe sex?
Yes, because I started to develop, but not as well as some girls, but more so than others. And I noticed that, and the more that I read, I started from going to comic books into, you know, little Harlequins. In teen romances, and soon it would be I had a cousin that read hardcore or novels, and when I meant hardcore, I mean it was they literally it was spelled out exactly, and so actually it was called Beeline Books is what it was, and I had like several books, and the more I read is the more I poured that stuff into me. I mean, I poured it into me. When that would be not enough, then one day I came across, I was, remember it was the summertime, and I was flipping mattresses, getting ready for folks from out of town coming in, and found a nudie magazine. And from there, the pictures and the stories, and that led into another stronghold, which would be masturbation, and it also just it is further. I was in my mind, I could do everything that those women were doing plus some because I was. It was like I was studying my craft, and that craft would not go until later on when I would start. I knew how to talk on the phone. With boys, when I started to talk to boys on the phone, I was not allowed to. When my mom died, my grandmother raised us, and I was not allowed to date until way, way later than some girls that I went to school with. And so, what I would do is, if a guy wanted to talk to me, I would how I kind of hung on to him was he could never see me. But I had enough talk and I had enough of a voice to hold him on the phone, to kind of tantalize, to kind of tease him, to kind of just keep him there, to keep him interested. And so, And when I and then when I would meet up with him, I in the beginning I would not let him touch me, but I would touch myself to keep him enticed and tantalized, and I'm steady teasing. And so I had to keep him there, if I wanted to keep him there. And just that attention was a turn on. Didn't have to touch me. The attention alone was a turn on. And
so
just that.
So that kind of got you into, that's where they kind of led you into the, like you said, you did a lot of reading and researching and stuff, kind of like a sex magic. To kind of keep a guy, like you said, to use your own body to keep him interested. And it wasn't you that he really wanted or loved. It was that the act, the sexual act that you did to keep him, to seem like he wanted you and interested in you. Well, we're going to get to our next question so that you can go into your leading up to your traumatic marriage. And my question is, with your first marriage, what seemed to push you further into depression and cause you to go into traumatic distress? Why did you even marry this first guy?
Okay, so I was in the Marine Corps. We both were in the Marine Corps. And one day I was taking out the trash and I had on PT gear, which was just a simple shirt and some really, really short shorts. And I was running with the garbage, and I almost tripped and bumped into this guy. And so it was him, and he, you know, he helped me. He took the trash. You know, he was trying to make like he was nice, and I thought that was sweet. But then when it came time for us to move our gear over to these new barracks where we was, all of us would be staying, you know, he was telling these guys, you know, I see this, you know, I just saw this girl, and, you know, her booty was just all out. And, you know, I was like, oh, so I got his attention, but I really wasn't interested in him. And he pursued that. I mean, he pursued me. He was like, he saw – what he told me when we finally got together was, I said, what made you really attracted to me besides my shorts? And he said, well, he had went to a club, and my first husband was Latino. And he said, he was at a club with some friends, and this black girl was on the floor, and she was getting down. And he said that her booty was thumping and bumping magically to the beat of the music, and he thought that was such a turn on. He had never been with a black woman before. And so, hence, when he saw me, he was like, okay, yeah, I need to get with this girl. To be with him. He knew that he was cute, but he was not what I was wanting. You know, I knew him from class. I wasn't really interested in him. But once, so one 96 or a 4-day week. I think that's a 4-day weekend, 3-day weekend. It's a long weekend. And we had a holiday off, and the whole, when the 96 would come up, everybody cleaned house. Everybody just left. And so it was actually just me and him and a few other stragglers in the barracks. And so I had a couple of, we had just gotten paid. And so I was washing clothes, and I was sitting there just kind of wondering, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And so he comes in and he was like, hey, you know, you want to go grab something to eat? And I was like, no, I'm not really interested. You know, he said, well, hey, he said, you don't have to pay, I'll pay. And he said, we'll go catch a movie or something like that. He said, you don't have to sit in the barracks by yourself. And he said, you know, I've been trying to get with you for the long deal. And he said, I promise I won't try anything. I just, you know, I just want to get to know you. So I was like, okay. So he was trying to make it all romantic. He was like, you know, he said, I'm really trying to get to know you. So we got in the cab, he pulled out, he poured out his whole plans to me. He was like, look, I got this room. It's a nice room. And I'll order you whatever you want. If you want steak or whatever, he said, I'll order it. And I'm like, I'll go out and I'll go get it. And he said, I just want you to stay and just get to know me. And so I was like, so in the back of my mind, I said, he's desperate. So I was like, I'm going to give him a run for his money. I said, okay. So we went to the room, and it was a nice room. I think we ordered, like, pizza, you know. And he was just asking me questions about myself, and I was asking him questions about himself. And somehow, I can't remember how it went about, but he wanted to see my body. And so I stripped for him. And then from there, it went into role play, and then from there we got down. And after it was done, I just rolled off and went to sleep. And so he was like, he just watched me that whole night, and he was like, when I did wake up in the middle of the night, I said, why are you staring at me? And he was like, well, you know, he said, you kind of were kind of cold. You know, I wanted to hold you, but you kept pushing me away. And I said, Chris, look, I said, I don't mean no harm. I said, I'm sorry, but I don't think this is going anywhere. And and so I kind of hurt his feelings, but he was persistent on being there. And so I don't know.
Can you kind of take us to the point where you all got married and what happened in your marriage to cause you all to cause you to be just in distress? Because I'm kind of wrapping up the interview, so can you take us to the part maybe, you know, when you got married?
Okay. It was we had gotten our orders, and he was about to get out on a BCD or a dishonorable for something that had happened previous before he had gotten in. And he had so I was going overseas, and he was going to have to stay here. And he had came up with a plan that the more they would pay us more for being married and for also being overseas. And that would help us, you know, he was like, we'll get married now and then you'll make this money while you're over there and you'll send it back and it'll go towards our home. Well, the signs were there that at times, you know, to keep him interested, I would just literally just want to just do it with him all the time. And it would get to the point it would aggravate him. And I remember one day I was just, you know, we were staying with some friends, and I just kept playing with them and kept teasing. He said, you know what, give me a moment. He took me to the back, and he literally forced me down on the bed and spit all over me, and he took them. And he smeared it all in my face, around my neck, and he said,
why you were married or after?
This is why we were married, right in the beginning of our marriage. Mm-hmm. Before the marriage, I noticed the same thing. I did not understand what it meant to be married. I didn't understand what it meant to be in a relationship. I noticed a couple of times that I would try to be lovingly, or I would want to do things with him just to kind of keep him interested, because it happened, I would use it before and it worked, but now I was in a whole new ball field with this guy. And he would show his true self at times, and he would be forceful, and he would be rough, and he would be angry with me.
Mm.
So in my also, as we were married, but he would also show a loving side, and he would show, you know, a teaching side, and he was, you know, just that, I'm going to protect you, but you need to stop being so naive, you need to stop being so dumb. He says people are going to take advantage of you if you don't wake up. And so when I went overseas, I would get these letters, and they would be romantic letters. And he knew that I liked to fantasize a lot, and so he would write the things I would want to hear in the letters. And by that time, the money was slow in coming to us. But when it finally hit, I sent the money to him because while I was in the military, he was my dependent. So it was my responsibility to take care of him. And so that money was going to him. And as that money was going to him, the money started to suddenly stop. I mean, not the letters would stop, not the money. And when I would call, I could never get in hold of him. And so one day when I finally did get a hold of him at his mom's, he was like, you know, he said, it was a nice run. He said, look, I'm with my ex now back home. He said, you're over there. He said, I don't know what the hell you're doing over there. He said, but, you know, he said, you're okay looking girl. You'll be all right. Find somebody else. He said, you know, and I'm just like, and I tried so hard to stay. I would cry. I would write letters. It would be to the point that he would put some other people answering, and he would not be there, or he would be there. He just would not never talk to me. And I would go, to my commanding officer and tell them and plead with them. And I guess they thought I was just so, you know, so upset that they had put me on suicide watch, which I was not suicidal. Now, maybe it might have crossed my mind, but I would never. I was too scared of going to hell to do it.
Amen.
But I was getting still. I was still living in sin. So, oh wow. So yeah, it was. He never did. So the money would go to him, and I eventually did move on, and other guys trying to heal my hurt.
Yes. So I have this last question, so we can wrap up this interview.
Okay.
That was something to go through. That was really something, and I pray that something that you shared with the ladies, that if any lady on this woman on this interview hear this, that they would know that God loves them and that God is able to heal them and deliver them, and they do not have to settle for no man hurting them, mistreating them, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God will heal them and deliver them, and they can get their self-esteem back, they can get their confidence, their self-confidence back, and that God have a man of God that will love them, honor them, and cherish them the way that God would have them to be loved, honored, and cherished. My third thing is, what advice would you give the women who have not been healed or delivered from their past wounds and hurts before they try to move on into another relationship?
You should never take your baggage into another relationship. Always clean out all that extra baggage. You don't want to take something old into something brand new. I believe it's a story in the Bible, or it might be a parable, but about new wineskins that you know they would put from the old, they would put new wine into brand new wineskins. You just don't good wine into old wineskins. It'll eventually burst open, and all your good wine will go to the ground. If I had known all the trauma and all the heartaches and all that I held inside, and just wanting him to want me, even though the signs were there, literally he was at times, even before we got married, the things that he would say to me, that God was giving me a warning into it, and he actually sent people to tell me not to marry him, and I knew him. And I could change him. When someone shows you how they feel about you, believe them.
Amen. So that say that again. That's a red flag, ladies.
When someone tells you how they truly feel about you, truly, and you'll know. believe them, because what you see is what you'll get.
Amen. Deidre, I am so thankful for you today and for sharing your testimony. We're at the end of our interview. I really enjoyed this. This was a blessing to my heart. I thank God that you opened up as a woman of God to share some of your testimony. And I look at your life, how you are now, because I know you personally. And I look at the beautiful spirit of God that you have, and how God has blessed you and how God has healed you, yet still healing you and delivering you and bringing you into your purpose and into your destiny, and how you have started to step out and how you're using your testimony and your heal, your wholeness to help other women, to let them know that there is hope, there is healing, there is deliverance, that they don't have to stay that way, because we serve a God that is well able to heal and make them whole. And Deidre, if there may be some women on here that may want to reach out to you, that may have more questions, or that may want to speak with you, or that will want you to pray with them or for them, could you please give us your email address?
Ma'am, my email address is D as in dog, E-E as in echo, dot Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S, like Dennis and Menace, D.Dennis at gmail.com. DEE.Dennis76@gmail.com.
So, ladies, you can feel free to reach out to Deidre. Were you want to say something else, sweet?
Oh, I was going to tell them they can also reach me on Facebook through my messenger my name is Deidre Dennis.
Okay. So you all can reach her on Facebook, or you can reach her by her email address. And for any of you ladies that would like to reach out to me, as I mentioned in the beginning, I am a relationship / mentor / family self-confidence coach. So you can reach me at LaShonda, LaShanda, Williams, WILLIAMS, 907@gmail.com. If you would have any questions, or if you would like to reach out for prayer or to share your testimony, feel free to reach me. Or you can also reach me on Facebook under LaShonda Williams. Message me, LaShanda Williams, WILLIAMS. I hope something that was said today bless you, ladies. I hope that you all take this and that you would know, like Deidre said, know the red flags, believe what they say, and don't do it. And get healed, delivered, and whole and free before you decide to go into another relationship. God bless, and I love each and every last one of you. Have a blessed day.
Amen.